Track 18. Active Travel. Our growing cycle network has had £60 million of investment in recent years and encompasses rural and urban areas, with 16 routes that are part of the national cycling network. In some urban parts of our region, cycling to work has increased by 2.5 times in 6 years. The public support measures to increase space for socialising, cycling and walking on high streets, which also benefits retailers. Active travel means walking, cycling or journeys by wheelchair. Whilst we frequently refer to walking and cycling, our network should be accessible to everyone and we'll design it as such. Active travel journeys can be for any reason and includes instances where they are part of a journey involving other forms of transport, typically public transport. We already have significant active travel assets in our region, but we want to grow the numbers of people using the cycling and walking tunnels and expand our active travel network across the region. Our growing cycle network in our region includes 16 routes that are part of the National Cycling Network, while the Tyne pedestrian and cyclist tunnels first opened to the public back in 1951. The region's walking and cycling network has had around £60 million of investment over recent years, both from local funding and from government. This investment has begun to change how we view active travel, and we work closely with partners, including Living Streets and Sustrans, to build on these successes, while taking into account the needs of all pedestrians, including anyone with sensory impairments or other disabilities. Our climate is no worse than places with higher levels of cycling. The lowest average December temperature in Amsterdam was 2 degrees Celsius, in Copenhagen, 1 degree, in Durham, 3 degrees. Everyone benefits when more people cycle. In central Tyneside alone, cycling takes up to 16,000 cars off the road every day, prevents 277 serious long-term health conditions, saves 9,400 tons of greenhouse gas emissions, and creates £58.8 million in economic benefits. We also need to support councils in our region with two vital documents. The first is their Local Cycling and Walking Infrastructure Plan, LCWIP. An LCWIP complements the government's Cycling and Walking Investment Strategy and means a long-term approach to developing local cycling and walking. LCWIPs form a vital part of the government's strategy to increase the number of trips made on foot or by cycle. The second is their Rights of Way Improvement Plan. Beep! The second is their Rights of Way Improvement Plan, ROWIP. These set out how improvements made by councils to the public rights of way network will provide a better experience for walkers, cyclists, people with mobility problems, horse riders, horse and carriage drivers, and anyone using motorized vehicles, such as motorbikes. Evidence also shows support for reallocation of space to walking, cycling and socialising, and measures to restrict traffic, including around schools, at peak times. We also know that there are still many barriers to people cycling and walking. In our region currently, especially in rural areas, communities are isolated if roads lack even a pavement. Higher speed limits also deter people from walking and cycling. Matters are then made worse if any cycling and pedestrian infrastructure that's in place is in poor condition. Living Streets emphasise that fears over personal safety can be a major barrier to walking. They point out that perceptions of risk will be interpreted differently according to the individual and in different places. Women, for instance, may vary their walking routes away from quiet streets according to the time of day. Meanwhile, subways with blind corners and no clear entrance and exit points can make people feel trapped, while graffiti, litter and vandalism may also increase fears. On the other hand, suitably designed street frontages as part of public realm will help to maximise natural surveillance and provide reassurance. It's also important that streets are well lit with vegetation located and maintained to ensure maximum visibility. Keeping active and a better pedestrian environment can contribute to both mental and physical health and our economy. Here are some statistics. 50% of central Tyneside residents think there are too many people driving in their neighbourhood. 72% support increasing space for socialising, cycling and walking on high streets, and 57% agree with closing streets outside schools at peak times. 86% of an InSight survey feel more footpaths should be built alongside current roads, and 81% feel the same for cycle paths. 56% of central Tyneside residents want more spent on walking provision, and 49% on cycling provision. Keeping active can reduce the risk of early death by as much as 30%, and of major depression by 26%. And as a direct result of improvements to the pedestrian environment, retail turnover can increase by 17%. Our starting point. COVID-19 has seen a considerable increase in walking, 37%, and cycling, 15%, in our region between April and July 2020, with increases in cycling up to and over 100% at some locations. Sustrans suggests that people in the Northeast already felt positively about cycling as a form of transport, and from March 2020 there were positive increases in walking, cycling, and cycle sales. A further welcome development is that families have been more active outdoors together, and indications from recent Tyne and Wear surveys indicate that individuals and families expect to walk more when the pandemic restrictions are lifted. In response to this, and in addition to the funding we've described above, we received £2.2 million from the first tranche of the government's Active Travel Fund, ATF, which is being used to reallocate road space towards active travel. This funding delivered over 30 emergency schemes in the region and drove an upsurge in cycling and walking activity during the COVID-19 pandemic. This was supported by an additional £9 million of funding awarded to our region through Tranche 2 of the same fund, which delivered further schemes to further reallocate road space to pedestrians and cyclists. We will build upon Department for Transport development, such as gear change and the Cycling and Walking Investment Strategy, to move closer to where we want to be long term, with an even better active travel offer including not only infrastructure but behaviour change measures. Because so much active travel takes place near where people live, any initiative where everyone has been involved in its design will naturally be more popular. However, by July 2020, 35% of InSight panel respondents said they were shopping online instead of travelling to the shops, leading to less walking and cycling. Maintaining existing and new infrastructure remains a concern. Cycling UK emphasised that potholes, ruts, loose surfaces and ice make walking and cycling uncomfortable and can cause serious, sometimes fatal injuries. Addressing our maintenance backlog could cost as much as £490 million. Micro-mobility. Micro-mobility refers to a range of small, lightweight vehicles which include bicycles, e-bikes, electric scooters and electric pedal-assisted bicycles. The rise of micro-mobility is evident in our region and the UK as a whole. As previously highlighted, a percentage of journeys made in our region are under 5 kilometres, which are currently being made by the private car. These journeys could be replicated by these micro-modes and potentially reduce congestion, air pollution and carbon emissions while improving health, making our street space more attractive and supporting the local economy. The region will work with partners to investigate the rollout of these micro-mobility modes and integrate them to the wider transport network. Where we want to be. We know that facilities for active travel are a vital component of our region's transport network. We will work with partners to deliver the improvements to the relevant key performance indicators by investing in a series of measures to make active travel an attractive option for short journeys for anyone able to make use of this method of transport. For this to happen, walking and cycling need to be perceived as a safe and enjoyable means of everyday travel. Like many other policies in this transport plan, delivery of this can only be by a partnership involving local and central government, walking and cycling advocacy groups, and local communities. Our aim is for there to be no fatalities or serious injuries on the region's road network by 2025. This means addressing the problems set out here so that active travel can achieve the plan's vision and objectives. In designing infrastructure and solutions, we will make full use of guidelines, such as the government's Cycle Infrastructure Design Guidance document, LTN 1/20, which shows how to deliver high-quality cycle infrastructure. Our developing cycling network requires further investment to deliver its full potential, economically, environmentally, and as a way of improving health. Therefore, communities should lead on how space is best used in their localities, so they feel confident that actual and perceived safety issues have been addressed. We need to ensure that our towns, cities, and neighbourhoods enable safe and easy walking for all, with adequate space, good design, crossings, lighting, and signage, so that walking becomes the natural choice for short, everyday journeys and combines with public transport for longer travel. In the early 1970s, improving public health in Finland became a priority. A programme, including promoting active travel, meant that in 4 decades there's been an increase in life expectancy of almost 11 years for men and 9 years for women. On a wider scale, we also need the funding to create a grade-separated regional cycle network and maintain it in excellent condition that links both urban and rural communities, is designed to a common standard, and has a strong identifiable brand. This will mean cyclists do not conflict with other road users and can travel longer distances, including to link into bus, metro and rail services. We've already said that maintenance is essential. We will look at targeting investment in maintenance activities and work with partners to ensure they get the financial resource to ensure that maintenance is completed at pace to maintain reliability, resilience and drive up safely of the region's network. This includes ensuring that maintenance issues can be easily reported by stakeholders. We'll also secure funds for strategic maintenance activities that can't be undertaken through existing budgets. We will encourage highways authorities to repair footpaths/cycleways before repairing roads. We will always design infrastructure schemes to include cycling and walking. The rest of this plan contains work programs aimed at transforming our urban and rural environment to achieve what we've said in this section. Policy statement. We will help more people use active travel by making the cycle network better across the Northeast. This will include being flexible in how we use road space to help cyclists and pedestrians.